This is Humble and Fred Legends, and I'm Philip Hong, non-legend. We're powered by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, Bodog, T2 Utility Engineers, Big Ass Fans, and Dewar, D-U-E-R, the world's most comfortable pants. We're going back to November 17th, 2011. That was almost 10 years ago. And the loony was around par. There were good times. And on that day, we welcomed David Marsden, national broadcasting treasure. We also heard from our friends Kelly Cotrera and Scary Pete. We're going to talk about the Occupy protests. That was the thing at the time. Ryan Doyle was labeled something, and so he spoke about professional protesters. A classic Goohead moment. It involves a credit card. And for some reason, I wrote this down. Bubble-wrapped kids and their balls. It sounds cleaner than you think.
Okay, if all goes well, the show is about to begin.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Sure appreciate everybody being here today. It's humbleandfredradio.com. And today, as always, brought to you by some very, very, very nice people.
For 20 years, Humble and Fred destroyed commercial radio.
You're fired.
Now they're back to wreck the internet. It's humbleandfredradio.com. Broadcasting from a part of town where shit's going down. Here are Humble and Fred.
I'm sorry, I cut you off with the cool intro that we do. What's going down, brother?
I forget now. That was a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah, other than 35 seconds.
What I was going to say was we got to play that disclaimer a little more often. You know, the CRTC, Canadian Standard Broadcast Council, a disclaimer.
Right now, if you like.
I think it's very cool.
Okay, here we go.
Have you got it?
Humble and Fred Radio is not a member of the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, CBSC, nor does it fall under the jurisdiction of the Canadian Radio Telecommunications Commission, CRTC. Both governing bodies can therefore suck us.
Good morning, Frederick, and of course today Kelly Cotrera. She comes in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. She's like a nanny.
That's right.
Kelly's like our Tuesday and Thursday nanny.
I was really worried about you guys yesterday because you had to drag Robin, and you know where I was. I was where shit wasn't going down.
Where were you?
Well, where shit wasn't. I wasn't here is the point. This is where shit is.
You were having some sort of an examination, were you?
Yeah, was you? Everyone's had doctor's appointments. What was your doctor appointment?
Oh, well, I don't think we can go there with that. But
Gyno.
Was it a gynopalooza?
No, but, well, what I wanted to mention, not to change the subject.
We're on the internet, Kelly. No one's listening to this.
I know, but there's visuals on the internet, Howard. Anything could be.
So you had a doctor's appointment, something south of the equator.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and everything's good, I hope.
Yeah, seems to be nice.
You have
good.
To wait for the results.
You know, there was an article I just happened to be reading this morning about the number. There was a thing about women's complaints about going to the gynecologist.
Oh, yeah, there's numerous ones.
The number one complaint, what do you think it is?
It's the cold, are they forceps?
Cold hands, not the plunger.
They're wearing gloves.
No, but a doctor, woman
plunger.
Or with them, not the plunger, the flopper thing.
I don't even know what,
the flopper
speculum.
Thing. The speculum.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I can't speculum on that.
That's cool.
You know what he does? He's always weird on TV because he says those things.
But I look right at you.
He looks at me to see if I'm going to be bothered by it.
Yeah.
I just can't be bothered this morning.
Don't take this into Ron McLean Pun City, please.
But no, the number one complaint of women were that their doctor's hands were cold. Oh, number two complaint is what they say when it's time to get the thing started. One of the things that women said they hate doctors saying, okay, let's open up wide or something.
Really?
Open wide, a little wider.
Lean back, relax, floppy knees. It's like, okay, you know what? And then they get right in there. It's like, you haven't even bought me dinner yet.
I know
what are you doing?
Yeah, I know a gynecologist.
Do you
like
really?
Personally, I do.
Yeah.
A fellow I've met over the past couple of years, and it's interesting, the conversations with him.
Do you go see him too?
No, because the thing is, right, immediately when a guy chooses gynecology, immediately you're thinking, you know what, he's you know, he just wants to look at Vahoo all day. Yeah. There's something not right there.
Because that's so
But I would be interested, have you ever asked him, not, and all joking aside, right, because that is the standard thing, but I would be interested to know if you've ever had a conversation, I guess the novelty, it must wear off after you've seen like days and days and acres of vagina.
Yeah, he does. You know, it reminded me of something you referred to years ago. Most of them look like old catcher's mitts.
Yeah. No, what I said was, yeah, when they're giving birth, they blow up like a catcher's mitt. No, not most of them. Just in the birthing process.
You've seen so many of those.
Oh, dude.
Because I volunteer.
He volunteers at a gynecological office.
Let me say something to you, Contrera, yes, that I just read. You sent me a note or something on Facebook, and I don't even remember what the note was, but all I remember is you used the word bub.
I did.
Something about blah, 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 bub. And I'm like, you know what? You got to love somebody who can use bub in a sentence. Here it is. She says, tomorrow is National Unfriend Day, a day to purge some Facebook pals. Thought you might want to know, hey, wait a minute, we're friends, right? Don't go getting any big ideas, bub. What are you, a flapper from the 20s?
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Brampton and Georgetown.
See, that's the Brampton and Georgetown coming out. And hey, bud.
Hey, bub.
What are you doing there, bud?
Go ahead. Hair in my microphone.
It's interesting about that defriending day. Jimmy Kimmel did a great bit, and I heard it, you know, and if I was on top of it, I'd have it play. But it was funny. It was a point system on if any of your friends add up to 50 points, defriend them, and it was all this neat stuff about the things people do on Facebook.
Yeah. It's a good bit.
Oh, yeah, it was a great bit.
You know what? You're making it come alive again, and you're telling them.
Stuff like, you know, people that post pictures of sunsets, that's like 30 points.
Yeah. I agree.
You know, yeah. I have a good friend that always posts Rumi quotes. You know, Rumi was this soother, sage poet from, the Middle East.
Sure.
And it was all love sonnets. Every day she posts like 10. Like, aren't you finished with this already?
I have had this argument, discussion with my friend a few times because...
What friend?
My friend. Anyway, because the way that I'm late to Facebook. I've only been on for a couple of years, but I've only ever used Facebook as a network or a social tool for either when I was at Boom, throwing things up there to, you know, get some. And now, of course, I use it to try and spread the word of the humbleandfredradio.com. I don't use it like most people use it. I don't want to say this and sound mean, but I don't really care what people are up to. I don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they care what we're up to, because what we use it for is daily updates about what we're doing here. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's...
But in general, I mean, other than the odd, hey,
yeah, but
Melanie posted a picture of them. That's cute, but I don't use it that way. I'm just saying, for me, I don't use it that way.
No, I know. But the problem is with Facebook... We don't care what other people are up to, but we think they care what we're up to.
Absolutely.
Well, we want them to. The Kimmel thing's here, but it's over 3 minutes. Screw it.
Believe me,
it was funny.
Speaking of Facebook, well, I'll tell you what. Maybe we can always put a link to it. We can always do a little homework after.
Yes.
At humbleandfredradio.com. I want to thank our friends C-Spot Run, because they've been very active social network-wise for Humble and Fred. They put a nice thing on their website, cspotrun.ca. And also our friends from yesterday, the movie Moon Point, Christian Potenza, and the lovely group were here, and they've also spread the word. And that's kind of one of the things we've sort of started doing, is seeing if we can't share a little sort of banner sharing and crowdsourcing is what they do. You know, just trying to get everyone to kind of tell everyone else, because we don't have an advertising budget. We are barely a budget for chairs for kind of.
And, you know, I have told a few people about what I'm doing, because they're like, what are you doing now, Contrera? You don't have work. You must be panicked. And I don't really have work, but I am dropping in with Humble and Fred. And
I'm their Tuesday, like, Thursday nanny.
Humble and Fred. You're kidding. They're back. And, you know, I have to pass it along. And I thought more people would know about it, but they don't. But if I can just say and promote your show yesterday, and this is what I wanted to do. Very funny stories yesterday about the Bay Lady Howard and Crotchless Panties Fred. And, you know, the great thing about a podcast is it's not gone. It's always there.
It's always there.
Seriously,
if you want to hear Fred talking about him wearing crotchless panties. So it happened to me yesterday. I picked up my friend Dave. He had some dental surgery at my dentist's, who I recommended to Dave. Anyway, I walk in there for the first time in a few months. months. Well, since I've been doing this, and they're like, "What are you doing? We want it. We want to hear you." And by the way, in my, I love these people. Dr. Eisner, he was the Argos dentist. Mm-hmm. They changed their radio station in the dental office from boom to vinyl. Because of they were pissed that I got fired.
Well, isn't that a noble thing
but
to do?
But very nice. But one of the young dentists in the office said, "Hey, what are you doing these days?" And I said, "Well, Fred and I are doing a show." I said, "What kind of phone do you have?" And he showed me. I had the iPhone. And literally, in 30 seconds, he had it subscribed. And I said, "You know, what's your drive in?" He says, "About 45 minutes. I said, "Can you plug this into your car anywhere?" He goes, "Absolutely." So this morning, he was be listening to yesterday's show on the way in.
Really? And what will he be listening to tomorrow?
Maybe this afternoon.
Today's show.
On the drive back this afternoon. I'm the detail man.
I went through the same thing with my bank manager, who is a huge Humble and Fred fan. Just talking to him the other night about some serious business.
Yes.
And then
yeah, I bet you were.
Same thing. And I said, "Jerry, what kind of phone do you have?" He said a BlackBerry. I said, "Well, within seconds you can listen to the show." And he wouldn't, like, he wouldn't actually believe me. "Well, no, you can't do that." I said, "You can do that, Jerry." And I started to walk him through, and he was having problems. I said, "I'll drive over there one day and I'll actually do it for you. It's very simple."
Do you know why I'm grinning? Because
why are you grinning?
Because this is the extent of our marketing campaign.
It is.
Jerry the
Jerry,
banker,
I'll drive.
And Dr. Steve.
That's right. I'm driving. That's what I'm going to do on weekends now.
Funny.
I'm going to drive to people's houses and hook them up on their phones.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Dave, on this program today, David Marsden will be our guest. We're going to have a heritage moment. Goohead trying to get a Visa card, or no, it's trying to...
No, he's wants to pay his Visa with his Visa.
Okay.
I think.
Here's some more weird Russian music. Okay. People are now sending
What's that?
Someone heard us playing the other Russian song.
Yeah, but that's not fun at all. That sounds scary.
I know, it is scary. But it's funny when you see it on YouTube. Anyway, just a quick we're going to talk to Ryan Doyle from News Talk 1010, who's a buddy of ours, host of Friendly Fire with Ryan and John Downs every evening from, I believe, 7 till they shut the place down. He was one of the talk show hosts singled out by the Occupy Toronto people yesterday as for receiving a douchebag award, along
excellent
with
the right wing
douchebag,
extreme right wing douchebag award.
Is he the right honorable douchebag?
Mm-hmm. I would think so.
Excellent.
Jerry Agar, Sue Levy from The Sun, Lesra Arendt, whatever his name is, Ezra Levant from Sun TV, Jerry Agar, I mentioned. Christy Blatchford.
What I wouldn't do to be a douchebag right now.
I would like to get some douchebag recognition.
Speaking of Facebook, I Facebook Ryan, and I told him I was jealous because I would love that.
Mm-hmm.
I would love that award. I really would. I would find great pleasure in being an adversary of those people.
Now, may I just throw a different perspective at you for just one second?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to say in terms of, you know, those people being because they're hippies. And I on Monday, I said it again. I don't understand how people have the time to occupy anything but their lives. Because on most days, most of us have a series of responsibilities, whether that's your job or your family or even cleaning up around the house. And I've always opined that whatever point they were trying to make was lost a long time ago, because most people now just look at them.
Okay, like, now you're about to defend them, so defend them.
Well, I am.
Okay, no, I know.
I'm defending the idea of it.
And which
the
is,
idea
what?
Is
no, I'm saying I'm on board with you when I agree that you, it's hard to believe anyone has that kind of time to occupy anything other than their lives. But when one thing occurred to me recently is, you're not on the side of the protesters because of that. So do you know what they're protesting, though?
They don't know.
No, but do you?
Yes, I know.
What are they protesting?
The economic state of the world right now, and how 1% of the wealth is controlled by, or 99% of the wealth is controlled by 1% of the people.
Well, you're partly correct, because when it started Occupy Wall Street, remember that Wall Street, I mean, and again, I'm as big a capitalist, maybe bigger than you.
No, they got away with...
I don't want to talk about the people right now. I just want to remind you and everyone else that there was a point to all this. And the point was, through deregulation and through mismanagement of mortgage funds, and these big companies got away with murder on the backs of everyone else, which is us.
Yeah.
Let me just finish. And that... you know, there is a point to it all that we need to be aware that we've gotten screwed over. And I'm not saying we, but...
Well, not us. Not we.
No, but that's... I'm saying...
It's got nothing to do with
but
Canada.
Occupy Wall Street is... The reason that started with that is to make the point that through a lot of mismanagement, the banks were bailed out, these big companies were bailed out, and you know what, Fred? They haven't changed their ways.
Okay, I
and
know
all,
that.
All I wanted to do is bring that up and say it's so easy, and again, I've been guilty of
it. Yeah, but it's two different kettles of fish here.
So
I understand that. I know everybody got screwed. But the point is, how camping out in a park for months, how does that change anything? Go do something constructive. No, let me finish. Now, here's the thing about the 1%, too. If part of that 1% or part of that 99% tried to become part of the 1%, that would be a lot more productive. 1% might turn into 2%, might turn into 4%, might turn into 8%. Laying in a park, really doing nothing but getting in people's way, isn't changing anything. I understand there was a problem. Yeah, and the people down there were screwed. And a lot of people paid
with their retirement funds, with their life savings.
But
do you understand? I'm not making a point any different than you. I just thought I would remind us all that... And again, I agree. I started by saying, laying in that park, and as I said it on News Talk on Monday, they've long since worn out any concept that anyone... Because this dialogue that we're having is the dialogue... Mm-hmm. One second. Is the dialogue that should be happening. That there is a problem. That there is a systemic problem with how those banks... And you know what? I know you think I'm being lefty and I'm defending it. But hear me out. A lot of people got fucked over down there. Now, we in Canada have a much more regulated banking system. Mm-hmm. We have a much higher scrutiny in terms of our finances than they did.
And but we're a lot less of, greedy as a population. That has to be brought into account.
A lot of people got screwed over. Now, that doesn't make what they're doing righter or wronger. I just wanted to make the point that there was a point
there
to it.
There was a point. Without a doubt.
It seems to get lost a lot.
I don't think it does. And I think part of the problem here is this. Their efforts are just so misguided. And I know you're agreeing with that.
Yeah.
But there's
misguided efforts.
There's just so many. They've ruined it. They had a point, and now they've ruined it.
And they lost public sympathy by
agree, Kelly. I said the same thing.
In Toronto, they're screwing over small business.
I know.
People that they're supposed to be in connecting with, they're actually screwing those people.
You're preaching to the choir, because I've said the same thing. All I'm saying is what's gotten lost in all of it is the point. That because it started with something that actually needs to be discussed. Whether it's, and I'm, by the way, I'm not all about the 99% should have what the 1% has. I'm all about striving for bettering yourself. I just think that sometimes you do it, I do it. Maybe you do a little more than me. But still, no, I'm just kidding. It's easy to say those people are a bunch of, you know, whatever they are. And then we all kind of forget that it really is us against them, not them against us. Do you know what I mean?
Sort of.
Not to mention their making.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like, do you, if we lived in the States and we lost our retirement fund.
But I know that. But that what they're doing, and I guess we're arguing together here. Because,
well, we are.
Because what they're doing just isn't going to change anything. It's not. The idea, I would think, is a lot of those young, brilliant young people down there that have this great stand to take and point to make.
Yep.
Why don't they try to get within the system and change it?
Well,
because they're not interested. You know why? Because that takes effort. Okay. And a lot of them don't.
But a generation ago, those people were the people in the 60s who were doing the same thing. And people our age were going, all those hippies and blah. Well, now all those people turned out to be Bill Clinton, turned out to be Al Gore, turned out to be people in power. I'm saying it's easy to look at those people and say, oh, they're all this type of person, and they've long since worn out their welcome, which I have said.
You know what was funny the other day? Gordon Lightfoot's down there.
He was down there to support them,
and the reason he was there, his 17-year-old daughter was there.
Oh, of course.
And very militant, and I'm thinking, okay, number one, you're 17, and not to undersell a 17-year-old knowing the issues.
Like every 17-year-old in the 60s.
But I'm sure she doesn't have a grasp of the issue. Mm. Number two, at 17, shouldn't Shouldn't you be in school, kid?
And her dad has a lot of money, I would imagine,
okay,
right? But can I just point out this, Howard?
Why don't you point it out while Freddie calls Ryan? Because we do, I know, by the way, I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that might give us some a place to chit-chat, and it did. And I just want to say that, you know, there are important points being made, just in a weird way.
You know, they're also, nobody's brought this up, but they're making camping look really bad.
No, I know.
I mean, hey, the listen, tradition of camping, now marred camping because of these people.
See, that's why I would never do
you
it.
See?
I can't stand
who wants to go camping now?
No one wants
really?
To go.
Really? It's filthy. Way, it's let me just, people get on your bed.
Let me piss off all campers. I think camping itself is stupid. Why you would
do
go
not.
In the wilderness when you have a perfectly good hotel or casino? I don't know.
This is Humble and Fred.
You know, don't forget, to get your Gig Sky data plan for your travel needs. Very important, whether you're off to the tropics, heading to Europe, or just plan to make your way down south anywhere, you'll need mobile data to keep you connected. Download the Gig Sky app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. It's the easiest and most affordable way to stay connected internationally, whether you're pulling up directions, looking for a restaurant, all that stuff. It's so convenient. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the Gig Sky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com. Now, Gig Sky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. Yes, when traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aeromobile. to see the list of partner airlines. Okay, GigSky.com.
You know, yesterday I got a chance to play golf with our friend Tim Niblett. He's a retirement Sherpa. We'll tell you about him later. But he's one of a bunch of people that I know, myself and the Fred Man included, that are wearing the stylish and super functional Health Gauge Phoenix, healthgauge.com. The revolution is here. You know, people have been wearing sort of data watches for a while, the Fitbits. This is something else. This is a new generation. Blood pressure, oxygen, activity levels, calories burned, and so much more. You've heard Freddie and I talk about it. You know, yesterday I played golf, but it was too hot to walk. But I still saw, it's funny, even riding the cart, you know, I'm doing 5,000 and 6,000 steps because, you know, just in the general course of play. Mm-hmm. Keep track of your health in a way that's never been available before. Share the information. Go to the app. Set your parameters and make sure that you are being as optimally healthy as possible. HealthGauge.com. Promo code is HumbleFredHG. 15 points off this watch, which is a nice saving. These aren't, they're not cheap, but they're inexpensive. Let me put it that way. HealthGauge.com. HumbleFredHG is the promo code.
The retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett, is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim, you know, if you're in the mindset of building wealth right from scratch, or whether you want to enhance what you have or have somebody have a second look at it, Tim is the guy. Available whenever you need him. Just go to retirementsherpa.ca. Again, if you have an existing plan, he'll have a look, give his assessment, no strings attached. He'll tell you whether he feels you're on the right course or not. Or again, if you're starting up, you know, listen, it's his demeanor, you know, very calm, very cool, very collected, very knowledgeable. You feel like you're in good hands with this man, and that's very important when your future is on the line. Figure it out. He's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Figure it out, buddy.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Hey, Doyle, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. Wow, you went, Kelly went off a little bit early there, which is
like
unusual
Ryan.
For a woman. But anyway, he is the host of Friendly Fire, and he's a good buddy of ours. Has always been good to me and Fred. He is also the recipient of a recent award, the Extreme Right Wing Douchebag. Say hello to Ryan Doyle.
Great to be here.
You just missed me and Fred doing a little, you know, podcast version of Friendly Fire there. And guess who I was? I was Downs. and I got beaten like a puppy.
No.
Well, that's about right then, isn't it?
No. What do you want to say?
No, seriously. I mean, we weren't in an argument. You are saying, you know, the message has been lost, and I agree with that.
I was just making the point, I
will generalize with these people because I've seen enough to generalize that they're just a bunch of slobs.
Sure, that's fine, but okay. It doesn't take... And all I said to Freddie Ryan was that I think sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, that we just forget that there is a bigger issue here that the rest of us need to be aware, and let's not go back and have this deregulated bullshit economy that has been going on for the last few years. And we're in a lot of trouble worldwide because of some things people did on Wall Street.
Yeah, and if I heard any of that message coming out from a tent down at St. James Park in Toronto, I'd be all in favor of it. I mean, I'm as against crony capitalism and, you know, people cheating the system as the next guy is. But the problem is that's not what's coming out of those tents. There's a whole lot of, let's say, douchebags that gave me the award that are sitting around looking for a place to just park themselves and hoping that nobody kicks them out. That's the problem.
I agree. Ryan's actually been down there, walked through it, and talked to the people. Haven't you, Ryan?
But I also want to say before,
as a matter of fact, I was down there 2 days ago.
Ryan, I agree with what you just said. I just want you to know, I think that they have wrecked it because now it's 2 months into this thing and no one remembers what they were there for. So talk about walking around there and why they think you're a douchebag.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense. Everybody was very welcoming when I was down there, mainly because they were stoned and drunk. But other than that, you know...
Wait a second. You're a radio guy and you care about that wine?
Because they weren't sharing. Mostly, you know, the people were very receptive down there, but I think that the original protesters that were there, let's say at the beginning of all of this, have gone home. I mean, what you have now are a bunch of professional protesters. You've got some First Nations protesters. People are there for the long haul, not because they want to convey a message, but because they want to be a pain in the ass. And that's who I met down there a few days ago. And I was there day one. The people from day one aren't there now, I can tell you that.
Well, that's the irony of it, too. Now they're just screwing the people that they're supposed to be connected with, the small business person, not the people over on Bay Street, not the people on Wall Street. It's just a selfish situation now. Where you're right. You know, it's an excuse to not have to do something else for the time being. I mean, they want to stand behind this cause, and it's a diversion. That's what it is, from their actual situation, which is nothing.
Yeah, and I agree with Fred, and I've been saying this for a good couple of weeks now. I don't know how people have time to occupy anything but their lives. Do you know what I mean? Like we were saying before you came on, Ryan, that most of us have things to do in a day, and whatever point they were making a month and a bit ago, I don't know how you can just keep going down there and not have to go and pay your rent or anything else you do.
The reason is because you don't live with the culture of entitlement that a lot of these young people that are down there live with and have been brought up with. I mean, these people feel like they are owed something. They wake up in the morning and they think, no, I'm not going to work for anything because the world owes me something. The three of us, four of us haven't been brought up that way. And it's sort of a culture shock for all of us because you're right. You know, we've got rent to pay or mortgages to pay. We've got bills, that kind of thing. These people wake up and they think, well, it'll come to me eventually. Somebody's going to have my hand out for me. Somebody's going to do something for me. And that's not the attitude you can walk through life with, as we all know.
And Fred and I were discussing, too, and I think one of the points that Fred made that I also agree with is, you know, if I'm against something, rather than go and protest it, I'm going to go and try and do something about my situation so that I can improve it. Versus trying to tear something else down. Or, like I said, I don't understand that culture because it would occur to me if I wanted to be one of the 1%, why wouldn't I try harder so that I could achieve more and make a better life for myself?
And we can turn that 1% into 2%, into 4% by getting in the system and changing some things. Listen, it's people my age, it's my generation that has caused this out of greed. And yeah. I mean, even with... It is.
Yes.
It's people my...
Freddie, there are a lot of people taking those mortgages, buying those mortgages at my age, going, oh, I don't have to put any money down.
Yeah, but that was blind. I'm saying the architects of this are people
our age.
Our age that got greedy. Love the big cars, love the big houses, love more money than they'll ever be able to spend. And right. I know that. And those bastards, you know, rip them apart, but get in the system and take their jobs and change it that way.
Which is what I'm saying. I say, you know, I don't have time to go and camp out for a month. And by the way, Ryan, the whole camping thing is way overblown. I don't even...
I don't like I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't want to go flies and you're sleeping on the ground. It's just, but you know, it's funny. Those guys, you know, we've all read the statistics about the number of times more the CEOs of big companies make now than the average worker, which I'm fine with, but it doesn't have to be 400 times. And the thing that's really insidious and horrible is the fact that they made money while they were, their banks were going under. These big financial companies, their CEOs and CFOs and the C-suite were all getting bonuses. They were getting bonuses while their companies were going in the shithole. And that's what's despicable about it all.
At the end of that, this is where I'll disagree with you. I have no problem with people getting filthy rich. If they want to get as rich as they possibly want, if they want to, you know, make beds out of the money that they make, go nuts.
Yeah.
As long as you do it by the law, as long as you don't do it by screwing over the system, if companies want to give out bonuses, that's the choice of the company. I mean, you can look down on the company for doing that.
I have no problem with bonuses. I have a problem with bonuses where the company's losing money and you get a bonus for losing less in Q3 than you did in Q2. And it's easy for you to say you're making big time radio money. We're podcasting in a fucking, we're in an office with, we put up the baffles ourselves. We don't have engineers.
But you know, guys, we can argue these points all day long.
Yeah, I know.
About guys getting bonuses and shouldn't get bonuses.
Well, they shouldn't.
I know they shouldn't, but there's only, again, it gets back to the, going forward, there's only one way to change it.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the system and change it.
Yeah. I'm going to start camping out in people's parks.
Camping parks and, know, you know, lobbing dumb insults isn't going to do anything. What we need, and this is a generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is. The generation that's coming up now, what Ryan talks about entitlement, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of entitlement that we didn't have.
Mm-mm.
And that's the scary thing. But at the same time, maybe that entitlement, the way these kids think now, maybe they will change the system.
Ryan Doyle can be heard on News Talk 1010, who've been great with us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, have you seen that yellow board? Ever seen that board, Ryan?
Never heard of it.
They're all over the sharing of love between News Talk and HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Things are a little bit different here on in the internet world, Ryan. For instance, like, you know, you guys have things on your station say, you know, coming up, friendly fire and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We have them, but they sound like this. Hang on.
HumbleAndFredRadio.com. We say fuck for breakfast.
Yes, we do.
For breakfast, no.
Do we say it for breakfast?
Do you want to borrow that, Ryan?
You guys can use it.
I would love some.
All right, buddy. Listen, thanks very much.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Give our best to John Downs.
And enjoy that.
He's a douchebag, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Every day.
Enjoy that award.
Thank you.
I wonder where he's going to put the douchebag award. Where do you put
it's
something
called,
like
apparently
that?
It's called the squatter.
It's called the squatter?
Yeah, the actual trophy is called the squatter.
Okay.
It's, I wonder who designed it.
Were you done there? Because I wasn't sure. I was just
yeah.
Did you want to say some more stuff?
No.
Listen, I've known you for 21 years. You had the look that you wanted to say something else, but I hit the thing.
No. Here, no. Because, again, I think...
Have I aggravated you with this?
No. We're just on... No. We're arguing in circles.
I don't think we're arguing. I just wanted today to point out that there was a bigger issue to be made.
Fred's an obvious disciple of Gandhi, which we all know for years and years. And
you didn't hear the point I made.
Heard the point you made. Okay. I'm just saying Fred, an obvious disciple of Gandhi, and I think what he's saying is that you've got to be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes.
And sitting dirty and drunk and high in a park, is that the world you want to see,
mm-hmm.
is the question.
Mm-hmm. We have a very, very special guest in the studio. By the way, that voice, Pete Cugno, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
Pete Cugno, everybody loves
Peter.
Love Gandhi.
And Kelly Cotrera will be here with the news in a second. Also, David Marsden. Wow! We're not farking around anymore. Marsden's here. But first, wouldn't it be great if this actually worked?
What are you looking for?
Oh, I have it right here. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
When there's a bluebird singing by your window pane, and the sun shines bright all day through, don't forget, boy, look over your shoulder, 'cause there's always someone coming after you.
Mr. Goody ran up a Visa bill, so he called Visa to see if he could pay his Visa.
Keep talking, because Visa. This goes on for about
what do you
four
mean?
More seconds.
What?
Three more? There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. See? Now it's going to work. You saw me hit that? Sometimes it just doesn't play. Why is that, Pete? Here we go.
Right on the air. There you go.
I did.
Nice.
There's a little space there.
Yes, I was wondering if you could help me.
Okay.
I have a problem here, and I was wondering how I can fix it.
Your name, please?
My name is Mr. Goohead.
Okay, what seems to be the trouble?
Well, my balance on this month's statement is about $300 and some odd.
Right.
And I really don't have the money to pay it, but I don't want to pay interest this month, so can I pay my Visa bill with my Visa?
No, you can't.
Why?
One moment, please.
Okay, sir, when will you be making your payment then? And I'll put a mark on here. You can pay it next month?
No, what I want to do is pay my Visa with my Visa.
You're not going to get any further ahead because you're going in to make a payment with your Visa, so you're not going to end up... It's still going to come out the same. Do you understand? Because you're going to just get a payment with your Visa to pay your Visa. It's still going to end up the same.
Oh, I see.
You're not doing anything. It's just going around.
Here's what I'll do. I won't use my Visa the next month, so next month I'll owe the same amount. So that way, if I pay my Visa with my Visa now, I'll have the same balance next month, so then paying my Visa with my Visa will mean I won't have paid any interest. Right?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, why don't you just can't... Okay, the problem is you just can't pay next month, right? But you can pay the next month after that?
Oh, I can pay right now if I use my Visa.
No. By using your Visa to pay your Visa, you're not getting anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I'm paying this month's Visa. Hello?
Yes?
Would this make it simpler? Can I pay my Visa with my Zellers account?
No, you can't pay your Visa with Zellers, sir.
American Express?
No.
How about Canadian Tire?
No.
Why?
Well, you can't get cash. You can't pay on Canadian Tire, sir.
This is complicated. I don't know why you just don't let me pay. I'm willing to.
But that's not the problem. Why don't you don't have... You need to make a cash payment, sir. You can't pay on your Visa with another credit card.
I can buy a bike with a credit card.
I realize that, but you can't go and pay your Visa with your own Visa. That's us paying ourselves.
Sounds good to me. Why does everyone always hang up on me?
HumbleAndFredRadio.com presents... Humble and Fred News.
We have a lot of stuff to get to. We have some great stuff. I think tomorrow's going to be a good show because there's a bunch of stuff we were going to talk about on the beginning of today's show we never got to, including the fact that our parents didn't like us very much.
No, that's a great one.
It's true.
Well, that's tied to that school in Toronto now where you can't bring any ball other than a Nerf ball.
And I said to Fred yesterday, so we got to talk about this because obviously our parents hated us.
Yeah.
But let's get to the news. Kelly Cattrera, ladies and gentlemen.
Funnily enough, fellas, I was the legendary David Marsden, who's here, had just said that he thought it was funny that he saw a bunch of kids yesterday in a schoolyard on the news yelling, "We want our balls back."
Yes.
Talk about bubble wrapping your kids. Yeah. This is the news story I brought in just to show how unprepared I am that I did not know where you guys were going to go.
What, did they neuter all these kids?
So the principal of Earl Beattie Public School in Toronto.
This is the story we're doing?
Yes.
Oh,
sorry.
Let me take it back. We've got nothing for tomorrow.
I have Oh, is this tomorrow?
No, it's fine. You know what? Tomorrow,
I'm kidding.
Well,
it's got to be fresh.
Good God. Okay.
It's got to be fresh when people download it the next day.
Students have been told to leave their balls at home.
Leave your balls at home.
Leave your balls.
I think a lot of men have been told to leave your balls at home over the years.
Okay. Well, we know a few men that have left their balls at home. We've worked with them before, but this is a school.
Been fired by some of them.
Very recently.
True enough. Basically, somebody sustained a bit of a concussion after getting hit with a soccer ball.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
The principal of Earl Beattie Public School said, you know what? This is a parent, by the way, who recently sustained the concussion from the ball.
Yeah.
They said, Mr. So-and-so got hurt or Mrs. So-and-so got hurt, so no more balls in the schoolyard. And they're saying the schoolyard is too small for balls. No soccer balls. The only thing you could bring in are sponge balls or softballs to play with.
Nerf balls, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. And that's when we were talking about this story, and I said, it's funny, hey, our parents let us go in the morning, and we would go on our bikes, no helmets, and they wouldn't know, forget Amber Alerts, they wouldn't know where we were until dark. In fact, that used to be a thing they would say to us, be home before dark, 14 hours from now.
Yeah.
Seriously, my kids are literally text me from the school to the car. Okay, I'm coming from the school, you will see me in approximately 13 seconds.
You know, years ago, if a parent was walking by that schoolyard and took a soccer ball in the head and suffered a concussion, it would have just been a story. Oh, yeah, you know what happened to me? I was going by the school, and the kid kicked the ball, I got a concussion, and it's bothered me for a couple of months. Now, see the way everybody goes into this red alert mode now?
Yeah, man.
Let's get rid of the balls. Let's change the system.
I don't remember, and I played lots of sports as a kid, not to get into a discussion of concussions in the NHL, but... People got hit in the head. In the NHL, they never used to wear friggin' helmets.
No.
When did concussions... Was that the new thing?
Well, concussions are pretty serious.
They are serious. But,
I mean, you know, if this was a parent that got hit in the 70s when we were kids in the head, they wouldn't know they had a concussion. They'd go home with a severe headache and have a scotch at night and then yell at their kids.
They'd have scotch all at lunch and they would smoke a bunch of cigarettes and they'd feel better.
No, exactly.
You know what? There's a larger discussion about bubble wrap.
Yeah, we should get a head doctor in one day.
Listen, we had talked about this, Kelly, a few weeks ago when I said, Spencer, that phrase, helicopter parents, parents that hover over their kids. And your children, PD, are how old?
9 and 11.
And it's funny how we don't want to let our kids have the kind of freedom that we all experienced. And, you know, people would say, oh, things are worse nowadays. No, they're not. Things are just the same nowadays.
I think they may actually be safer nowadays.
Yeah. It's media.
And I think pedophiles and creepy guys that used to expose themselves years ago would be more reluctant to do it now because of the reaction and the awareness and all that kind of stuff. So, and you know, we were just as guilty, my wife and I, more her than me. You just think your little darlings are so sacred and so vulnerable, and there's a boogeyman around every corner.
And I've told the story too about Spencer's school when she's with me. Is honestly, if it's a 6 minute walk, it would be because you were, you know, dawdling. But she won't do it. In fact, the one day that recently she did do it, she literally texted me on the way.
Really?
Halfway, I'm in front of the school. Okay, now I'm at your house. I was like, wow.
Fear. Fear.
Well, it is.
And that's media driven because we need to sell things.
Of course it is.
You need to sell cell phones, so you got to make parents afraid. Yes, it's ridiculous.
It's all media.
It's a cell phone company. They're giving us all concussions.
I got a concussion. Remember, I got a concussion when we started
that
the show.
What happened?
Well, I didn't make everyone cut their balls off after. We just had the, you know, it was like, guys,
was that when your balls were bleeding as well?
Yeah. My balls were bleeding through my throat. And my hair fell out.
The specialty channels, especially All News now, has created this because they need content. And a lot of the content is fear. Make
it's
people
totally
fear.
Kelly Cotrera, why don't we just move on to story two if you have a second story, because we want to get David in here, and because he's got lots to say. David Marsden is our guest in a couple minutes.
Speaking of being fearful, I don't know if you heard about this yesterday, but Benetton Clothing Company released this new ad campaign, and it revolves around, it's called the Unhate campaign. They launched it in Paris, and I know, Humble, you're always up to date with what's happening in Paris, but yesterday after they they launched this, the campaign basically features fake photos of half a dozen political nemesis locked in embraces and kissing. One of them is Barack Obama with Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Palestine's President Mahmoud Abbas. Okay, the other was Pope Benedict kissing the Egyptian imam on the lips.
Interesting.
And the Vatican said, you better take that down. No. Mm-hmm. We will not have it. So the Vatican, I thought it was interesting that the White House has a longstanding policy of disapproving of, you know, using the president's name and likeness. But the Vatican goes beyond that. And they're like, I don't care if it's about unhate. I don't care what the message is. Take me off. It's incredible to me.
Well, I guess they thought the person the Pope was kissing should have been a lot younger.
No. What? Oh, that was a laughter of agreement.
You know, that's funny line, dude.
And I laugh.
That's why we're here, to say the Pope should be kissing little boys.
Yes.
No, I'm just trying. You know what I'm doing? I'm just trying to jump on you for controversy's sake.
Controversy.
Now, that, you know what? I'm actually surprised that joke aside, I'm surprised that they were allowed to do it.
Really?
I mean, I'm glad that it's cool and everything, but I'm just surprised that they were allowed to use those images in a way. Like, it's one thing to use the Pope's image or Barack Obama's or the guy from the Middle East.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that they're able to use them in a sort of a very controversial way.
Well, it's all about tolerance.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that the Pope's people don't like the tolerance.
Well, the Pope's
campaign.
People aren't very tolerant.
And good on those people, because they always get lots of attention with their ads, and they've done it again.
Hey, Fred, did you hear that? The Vatican's announced they've made that football coach a thing.
Oh, Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah, that's right.
Saints? Jerry Sandusky.
That would have been a better line if
he's a cardinal.
Yeah, thing. At the end of that sentence, I knew there was a line. I didn't know what it was. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go.
This has been a HumbleAndFriendRadio.com special news presentation.
I'm sorry I wrecked your show for tomorrow, fellas.
No, it's all right. It's all right. We'll come up with something. We'll talk about Occupy.
This is Humble and Fred.
Well, guys, we're pretty excited. Doer, D-U-E-R, Doer, has the world's most comfortable pants. I have them here in the studio. They got dropped off last night, and I'm going to be distributing them. They have five times the stretch of traditional denim and does not compromise on style. The technical performance fabric woven into Doer's denim keeps you cool when the temps are hot and warm when things get chilly. The pants are breathable, lightweight, and durable, allowing you to look great and move freely. Doer is proudly Canadian, also prides itself as being sustainable. Many of their products are made from natural materials like plants and eucalyptus trees, and some pants use sustainable fibers from wood chips, plants, and recycled plastic bottles. It all comes together and looks amazing. Use code HumbleAndFred15 for 15% off your next order at doer.ca, D-U-E-R.ca. Speaking of sports, if you want to bet on sports, we recommend Bodog.eu/sports. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, poker, or casino player, Bodog's your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Go check it out, bodog.eu/sports, whether it's tennis, basketball, Major League Baseball. It's all there, as I say, providing Canadians with an unparalleled gaming experience. bodog.eu/sports.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Pete, yep. Do you want to give up your chair?
Yes, I am.
I'm giving up my chair.
Okay.
It's Catholic.
Do you want to use this? Your chair is Catholic? Is that what you said?
No, because I'm giving up like a Catholic.
Oh, yes.
You kiss your mom with that?
Is this music okay? Or do you want to?
Oh, no, that's good music.
All right.
This is great transitional music.
Do you want to use this to introduce?
Oh, yes, we will introduce.
Because I actually, it would be cool if I had the spirit. I'll find it. Go ahead.
During the 1960s, he was referred to as the most controversial thing on Toronto radio. And in the 1970s, he became the lead architect of CFNY 102.1, The Spirit of Radio. And he's a member of the radio division at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. He's a pioneer, he's a trailblazer, and he's the best damn boss I ever had. Well, welcome, Dave Mickey, David Marsden, the Mars Bar.
Hi. I left my balls at home.
Really?
Yeah. Well, actually, they're spongy, so I brought them.
Although, you know, it's funny, once you get in your 50s, they do get 50s. They do get spongy.
They start.
Who's
spongy
in their 50s? I've never heard of this. Tell me what that's like, Fred.
Yeah, well,
Dave, nice to see you.
It's a pleasure. And the problem, I might add, about the picture with the Pope is that he's not using his tongue. They want a little tongue.
Man.
He
said no tongue.
If there'd been some tongue, everything would have been okay.
You know,
that's true.
I feel like I know you well only because I've heard so much about you from knowing Fred well.
Oh, my God. All my secrets are out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say more complimentary. He meant what he said in terms of the best boss that he ever had, and maybe not we ever had together, but certainly you influenced Fred a lot. But because there's so much to talk to you about, we thought we would talk a little bit about the creation and the world of radio when you started the Spirit, CFNY. Yeah. And then maybe later we can talk about something that's a favorite subject of ours right now, which is the current state of media. So let's go back to that time and how radio was different and how it impacted people differently than maybe some of the radio we hear today.
Oh, that's a very deep question.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if we have enough time.
But maybe we could just talk about those two things in different compartments.
Someone asked me on... can I have a little more headset? Somebody asked me on Facebook the other day. Right there. That's okay. Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. Jesus Christ. What's
How
going
about
on?
This, Dave? How do you like that?
What a creepy laugh that was from me.
how do you enjoy that, Dave? How's that a sound?
Does everybody's headset go up at the same time as mine?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay. Because I was worried that you guys were hearing it as loud as I am.
Oh, no. I have it pretty loud. Freddie's only got... You have both on now, but usually
yeah,
just
I
one.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I'm partially deaf, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me the other day on Facebook, a student at Mohawk, as a matter of fact, if what I thought about loyalty then versus loyalty now, and can radio stations build an audience without loyalty? And the answer is no, they can't. The answer is loyalty is everything. That's why they have things like Petro-Canada and Sobeys customer card, because it builds loyalty. I think the unfortunate thing now is that the loyalty that CFNY had was about the people there and what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was about. And what we were doing was, I as a program person was trusting everybody else to be professional, to be fantastic, to be entertaining. We didn't limit ourselves to playing 250 songs like some radio stations do. Same songs over and over and over. And then we have these radio stations who think they're representing the 80s when they're not even close, but they brag about it. It's kind of like, it's a little Orwellian because they're rewriting history.
Why do you think people in the 70s, when you started the Spirit, and even before maybe Fred got involved, why do you think people were so excited about radio? And if I may just say at the end of that question, is it because there was more of an authenticity to it then than there is now?
Well, see, I still think people are excited about it. They're just excited about it in a different way. The platform has changed. That doesn't mean that what you put on the platform has to change. You know, if you have a stage, people will come and look at that stage only if there's something interesting on that stage. And if it's just a boring stage, people are going to come for 10 minutes and get the traffic or whatever, and then they're gone. That's not enough for me as a programmer. I'm not interested in... I wouldn't want people to just think 10 minutes to my radio station would be sufficient. Yeah, the guy who had asked me this question on Facebook responded back to me, because I responded to him, and he responded back that they had recently had the music director of a radio station, an edgy radio station, apparently. I don't think it's very edgy, but that's my opinion.
Well, very cryptic, Dave.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyway, the music director of that radio station had been to speak to the class, and someone in the class, you know, said, well, I can't listen to your radio station anymore because you play the same songs over and over and over again. And his response to the class was, well, you're not an average listener.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
What is an average listener? And his response, as reported to me by the student, I wasn't there, so I can't say this is actual fact, was, well, you know, the average listener comes in and they go out, and we're just interested in getting big mass numbers.
Making sure they hear that song when they pop in for 20
I
minutes
suppose,
or 30 minutes.
Well, yes. But who wants to just hear one song?
Well, this is one of the dilemmas that... we faced at CFNY before and after you were gone. The thing is, I like to think, and it's, you know, it's pretty well considered, we made great radio.
Yes,
but we
did.
Never had huge ratings.
Didn't matter.
No, I know it didn't matter. But the thing is, a lot of people complain about radio traditionally, but they're the very ones to blame because they're the ones that were filling out those ballots, creating this monster that we have now.
Well, possibly. That's a discussion that could go on forever. But let me go back for a minute to the numbers. Where there were essentially three rock stations at that time in Toronto. One was called Q107, one was called Chum FM, where I had come from, and one was called CFNY. And the reality was that we were in third place, but we got more buys than the guy in second place. Because the second place and the first place radio stations were just trading the audience back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I mean, check my ratings that I have at 94.9 The Rock. I'm 0.5 away from beating CFNY.
Really?
Yeah. In my target audience.
Mm-hmm. Not to jump forward, because I do want to talk a little bit about the time of radio, because it was a time in the mid-70s when I was in high school. I loved radio. It was something that I thought was pretty cool, and there are not a lot of 15 and 16, 17-year-old kids nowadays that are listening to radio the way that we did. Mm-hmm. You'd listen to CKFH, or I listened to CHAB and Moose Jaw, because I lived in the prairies, you could hear WLS Chicago, because, you know, if it was a clear night, you could hear all these radio stations, and it was exciting. Whereas now, what I'm trying to make the point is, there is more than three stations playing all the same music. They're going back and forth between, you know, Z103 and KISS and all those stations. So what's to distinguish anybody anymore? Because they've depersonalized the stuff in between the records. So there's nobody excited about radio. He and I spoke to a conference basically of college programs, because enrollment in radio broadcasting college is down and postgraduate jobs are down, because no one's really excited about in between the songs anymore.
Well, you see, I've never been excited about in between the songs. I'm all about the music. But I mentioned that I'm 0.5, like a half a point away from beating CFNY. Why? But I'm doing what I want to do. I'm playing 7,000 to 10,000 songs in my library. But I'm still that close to them. What does that say? That says the people still are interested if you put it on the stage. When I speak at colleges to young people, if it's a radio class, the first thing I tell them is look at the internet. Because that's just where it is. Mm-hmm. You guys have learned that very quickly over a very short period of time.
I'm surprised you say you're not interested about what's between the records.
I was teasing.
Well, obviously, like a true PD. Shut up and play more songs. No, because...
I was teasing.
Again, you know, and Howard and I had this discussion the other day, was how I developed as a broadcaster had a lot to do with you, because I grew up with Pete and Geets being the sportscaster, and you continuously telling us, guys,
absolutely,
push it, have fun, be adventurous, keep doing different things.
I'm almost only kidding you, Fred.
No,
but
I know.
The reality is that what's going on between the songs, I used to always say this to all the announce team at CFNY, is be interesting, be entertaining, be fantastic. And there are no mistakes unless you do it twice.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, I was at CFNY when you guys were there, and I grew up in a slightly different school of thought with radio, and I got into it because I thought it was going to be really fun, and I love music. And Howard said something to me the other day that actually made me realize that I have never really done that, and I've not been encouraged to do that. No offense to any of my past program directors that might be listening in, because I know they are listening into this stuff now. Howard, you said, Kelly, don't edit yourself. And I thought, wow, I have been editing myself for a long, long time. And if you continuously edit yourself, you are not going to get that authenticity, and you're not going to push yourself. And I feel like I missed a heyday of radio. And it's a shame, because, I mean, here I am sitting with three greats at this table, which is an honor. But I really have never done what you guys have done. And it's a shame.
The point is, you didn't miss it. You just haven't made it happen. That's what you need to do. You need to jump in and say, let's go. That's what we used to do. Mm-hmm. That's what I still do.
And when Fred and I first started working together, I had just come off probably the longest sustained period of my life when I did stand up professionally. And one of the things that I always loved about stand up and being in front of a crowd is sometimes when you know you're doing your act, but then you start to fool around with the crowd a little bit, it's funnier than what you've written, you know, and you almost hate to go back to your act. And he and I, early on, within weeks of starting, kind of decided that we would just say anything to one another and then let's see where it went.
Yes.
And our motto, and to anyone that became part of our show, was just don't block us. Just say yes to whatever cockamamie stupid thing we suggest. Humble and Fred are going to be number one in 97. We just said shit and we followed each other. What I said to Kelly the other day is just go with it. If you have a sense of the moment, just let it happen, because it'll always in the end be a better than if you sort of go, ooh, I'm not sure if I should say that, and then say it.
That's what my phrase, there are no mistakes unless you do it twice, is all about. Take the chance. Yeah. Take the risk. Go for it. It doesn't matter whether you're on the radio or whether you're working in a bank or whether you're in a mortgage. It doesn't matter where you are. Take the chance. Don't be afraid.
You know, I think you are partly the reason I got the boot in Peterborough recently, because
me?
Yes.
Because as I want to hear this.
As a program director, I took your mentality to the radio station, because the first thing I realized when I got there, nobody's having any fun. Mm-hmm. And the trademark of CFNY in the 80s and even through the 90s was fun.
Yes.
You wanted to be there. We were laughing, hanging out together, doing stuff together.
Yes.
I get to Peterborough, nobody's having any fun, and a lot of it had to do with the formatics that were in place.
It might be because they're in Peterborough.
Maybe. But the thing is, I am trying to instill fun and push the envelope and open that mic and say what you want. Let's see where it takes us. Mm-hmm. That ended up being my demise.
Was that station owned by a corporation?
Yes, it was.
I really think there's still a future for radio, the traditional radio, but I think it's in the hands of the independent owners.
I agree.
The station I work for, The Rock, where they let me do whatever I want for 10 hours every week.
Which is highly unusual. It's because it's owned by a guy.
It's a guy who owns it, and you bump into him in the hall. He talks to you. He says hello to you. And he is turned on by the fact that we're doing something exciting.
If I may say, it's analogous to all the great sports teams that are owned by hot, big ego Dallas Maverick type of guys who actually it means something to them personally that their team do well, versus, you know, MLSE, which is basically the teacher's fund only giving a shit if the
bottom line.
If the bottom line gets I'm gonna take a quick break here, and I thought, you know, of all this, we were gonna ask you what song you might want us to play on the podcast, but I found the Rush song.
Okay, yeah.
You had him on a couple.
We had Alex on a couple weeks ago.
That was very nice.
And when we come back, I want you to...
I was surprised, however, I'm going to interrupt Jack, because I listened, but I was surprised that he was afraid to admit that that song was written about the spirit of radio.
I was surprised, too.
Me, too. Because, you know, he went with the company line, if you will, the Kool-Aid line, because I still recall when Ray Davies, who is a tremendous guy and his manager and has done an incredible job with Rush, called me and said, we've got this song, and of course we had the spirit of radio, well, they had that copywritten, and we had to release the rights to that, but I was surprised that he didn't. He used to call me when I was at Chum FM and they got their first album out. He used to call me and request his own song.
That's funny. That sounds like something we would do. All we do when people wonder what we do after the show is you start downloading. When we come back, I want Dave Marsden to respond to this. This is something I picked out of, it's called the Lefsetz Letter, and this guy is a visionary, much like yourself, a former record company guy, but he talks about radio, and he says, stop trying to save music radio. It's done. Because we live in an on-demand world, one of choice and instant satiation of desires, talk radio will survive because it's live, but music radio will fail to the point of irrelevancy. And Dave will talk about that. This is a super teaser. After we get a little
darn.
Rush. Yeah, I know. Just hold on. 4 minutes. Here's Rush. We'll be right back.
sticking you all.
And a glassman in my unit back in World War II. And I can't help but wonder if these two assholes are related in some way.
This is Humble and Fred.
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small business, say 1 to 100 employees. That's what we're talking. If you've thought about a benefits package for your small business, go to chamberplan.ca today and get a free quote. I mean, it's really easy, really relaxed. You can click on, put the parameters of your business in, get an idea of what's involved, what the costs are. You'll be pleasantly surprised. 30,000 Canadian, small Canadian businesses are part of this. So it has the image of a large company so that, you know, they can keep premiums down. And they've done a pretty good job over the past few years doing that. A lot of testimonials right there on the page. You can read how this has worked for other small companies, what it has meant to their employees, and how doable it is. Again, chamberplan.ca, that's where to go. We're talking prescriptions and dental and all sorts of therapies if you buy into certain levels. It really is fantastic. It's simple to sign up. It's stable. They've been around 40 years. Come on. And the smart thing to do for your people. Take the time today, chamberplan.ca.
T2 Utility Engineers specializes in services to reduce the risk of existing underground and above ground utilities on infrastructure construction projects. All the information is at their website. I should probably have this for you. It's T2, T, the letter T, the number 2, UE.com. That's T2 Utility Engineers, T2UE.com. They provide accurate, reliable utility information and years of experienced insight to help clients reduce risk and avoid costly problems and safety issues during construction. Now, it's one of those things that exists and most people don't consider unless you're in that business, and then you have to look them up. T2 Utility Engineers, they've been leading the subsurface utility engineering industry, supporting big projects like the light rail systems across the entire country, Phil, since 2002. T2UE.com. T2 Utility Engineers, Phyllis. Okay.
This is Humble and Fred.
Humble and Fred, and with us, Kelly Cotrera. Scary Bald Headed Pete, scarypete.com. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. And the very kind and articulate legendary David Marsden. I said before, Dave, that Bob Leftsitz's letter talked about talk radio will survive because it's live. Music radio will fail to the point of irrelevancy. Why does he say that?
Well, because he's full of shit.
You think?
Bob Leftsitz is like the biggest know-nothing I've ever known in my entire... I refuse to read him.
Really?
Yes, I think he's an idiot.
Really?
Oh, he is.
And why do you say that? Like, well, respond to that.
He never says anything that's close to accurate.
I disagree. I think he's got a point there. I think that here's a perfect example. You've got all these radio stations in Toronto, CHFI, Chum FM, all these plays playing 9, 8, 10 songs an hour because PPM has said that, oh, as soon as the music stops,
well, they're killing themselves.
Well, but that's what he's talking about. He's saying that
music radio is irrelevant, because if you have a song you want to show me, then you say, Howard, here, let's just download it and we'll plug it into the auxiliary of our car and I'll be playing it for you in seconds.
Here's my problem with what he has to say, is he is giving a blanket statement, and there are still some people, like my station's in Colorado, 20,000 tracks in the libraries, and they're played all the time. My radio shows at The Rock are, as I said earlier, 6,000 songs that are I play all the time.
But those are the exceptions. He's not talking about those pockets of joy, islands of wonder.
But he should be.
He's talking about CHFI.
No. He should be pointing out that there are still some of us doing something.
That's right. Well, there's still
and
some.
Until he does, he's full of
shit. Well, there's still some great places to get a burger, but most people go to McDonald's.
No, and
I've never been to a McDonald's in my life.
I really?
Know you haven't.
But
I love you even more than I did. I want you to adopt me.
I've never been to a McDonald's in my life.
But those outlets do exist. Obviously, you work at one, and we should mention Dave also programs some radio stations in Colorado.
It's called The Ride.
TheRide.com. But every day there's less and less of those.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is that somebody who's going to get up on his little soapbox and decry the death of something should also be suggesting that there are those who are still doing what needs to be done.
I mean, for years I tried to point out why when people, it's fascinating. When we were the Humble and Fred show of the late 90s, early 2000s, people who liked us assumed we were number one in the city. Mm-hmm. They'd say, oh, you guys, you're not number one. We would go, I'd say, no, it's very sweet of you, but Freddie and I are not number one. And I said, but you know what? It's like this.
You know what?
I was going to say, Letterman has less viewers than Wheel of Fortune, but don't tell me it's a better show.
You see, listeners don't. I don't tune in the radio wondering if I'm listening to number one. I tune in the radio to see if I'm listening to something good.
That connects.
Yeah. Who cares about ratings?
And the thing is,
ratings are nothing.
In the sales department.
But that wasn't the point I was trying to make. I was the point that that quality, yes, there are pockets of quality, but for the most part, most people consume mass crap. That's what Bob Lefsetz is talking about.
Yeah.
The mass crap is going to someday, very soon, be irrelevant to the average person.
But what about the shows like HBO is a great example, like Breaking Bad and the shows that are fantastic like Dexter. People are clamoring for those shows, and they're going to them, so there's still a market.
More people still watch crappy crap on the regular networks than they watch Breaking Bad.
I'm not saying.
No, I know we're not.
I don't care about most.
I know you don't.
I only care about what we do.
Okay, so let's get back on track, which is relevant content and great music people will find it.
I do absolutely agree with that. I absolutely believe that.
Because people have found you on The Rock, and they want it. I think they crave it.
You know, I got to tell you that a humongous percentage of the audience that I have at 94.9 The Rock are on the internet. They're listening in their smartphones in L.A., and they're listening in Pennsylvania, and they're listening in London. They're all over the place.
And that is interesting, and they're doing that because what you're doing is offered so... It's just so unique compared to what's being offered on radio. Even look at The Edge and radio stations like that. On weekends, there used to be like...
Do we have to?
No, but I'm just saying, there used to be sort of niche programming in certain day parts that even that's gone now. It's the same all the time.
I don't care about that.
No, I know you don't care.
You know, they're going to... If they want to hang themselves... Be my guest. Go ahead, hang yourself, do whatever you want to do. But I'm over here doing what I'm going to do, and I'm going to stay focused on doing the best what I can do.
And that's all any of us can do.
Dave Marson, let's talk in the last couple of minutes, if we can, about where, because we talked about kind of where it was and a little bit about, you know, where it is now. But where do you think, outside of these pockets of you know, the odd place where you can catch a Marsden, or you can maybe even, you know, listen to your stations online, where is the regular radio world going, you think?
Well, you see, back about 10 or 15 years ago, something very strange happened. Someone opened Pandora's box, and people discovered that there was more than just Top 40. And suddenly, music fragmented into literally scores of places. If we look at dance music, and we say, oh, we're playing dance music. Yeah, what kind? There's 23 different kinds of dance music. Which kind are you playing? So once Pandora's box was open, Then the word boutique came into play. So worrying about being number one and worrying about all that crap is exactly that. It's just crap. Because people are now boutiquing. They're making, A, they're making their own radio stations, if they want to.
HumblinFredRadio.com.
Exactly. They're listening to radio stations all from, say, Toronto, all over the world. I have a good friend who lives in southern England. And when he gets up in the morning, the first thing he does, he's from here, the first thing he does is he turns on CBC radio to get the Canadian news. And when he's finished with that, he tunes to a jazz station out of Spain that he likes a lot. The fact of the matter is that in Europe, they are so far ahead of us with regards to the international aspect of radio. It will come here. It still has that funny little name, radio.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes just call it audio because radio has this negativity that Lefkowitz, whatever his name is, he attached a negativity to it that didn't need to be there.
Well, I was going to say our mutual good friend, Rick Rama, who I started working with. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name.
I've never heard
They're
of
all them. Tall and Nordic or something. I don't know. He introduced me to, he's a big fan of yours and he's here today, but he introduced me to that international flavor because in our office over at Acme, he always got some BBC on and then it might be a radio station from Canada or somewhere else. And there is a lot of people, that is growing, that people are choosing and they demand.
But it's called boutique. It's no longer about who's going to be number one in Toronto. It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, that's never had anything to do with us.
It's all about, you know, who is your audience?
Mm-hmm.
Because with the internet, your audience is suddenly defined within an inch of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just talk demos anymore. Now you're talking psychographics.
Okay, but how do you explain that there are all these stations in Toronto are still chasing number one? That means a lot to them. They're playing wall-to-wall music because it works for them in PPM, the new rating system.
Guess that's you know, I mean, I'm trying to think of an analogy here that I could give you. I suppose it's, you know, we know that certain things we do aren't good for our health, but there are a lot of people still doing them.
And it buys into what you say about it's people just waiting to the next generation to deal with the problem.
Well, yeah, I had this conversation with Cross, and I said, we were talking about, he was saying radio, he's got a great phrasing, radio is a sunset industry. And he said that the problem is, and he's also recently been fired, like everyone in the room.
oh, not me.
Oh, no, not you. I know. You're special.
I'm still.
You're a special radio man.
I am, Mark.
He said that the problem with the business is all the guys in charge are 5 to 7 years away from retiring, and they don't want to have anything to do with trying to figure out what's going to come next. But I will say this in Lefkowitz's defense. He said he doesn't know what's going to come next, but the day it shows up, everybody's going to be doing it.
But it's already here.
I know.
Yeah, you're doing it.
People just don't recognize it. I don't know, what's all this negativity?
What negativity? You've never been with us before. We're nothing but positive. We're nothing but positive.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who say things like sunset radio and people like Lefkowitz there.
Lefkowitz.
There's all this negativity. You know, we didn't build great radio stations back in the 70s, the 80s by being negative.
I know.
Now,
you build great radio, which is what we're trying to do here.
CFNY was very much built because I was at Chum FM, and they came along, and I'd been there for years doing what I wanted to do, playing what I wanted to play under the incredible direction of the great Bob Lane, who I learned so much from. And then suddenly one day I walked in, and they said, oh, here's your playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Lane had been moved out to Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And I said, what's a playlist? And they said, this is what you're going to play tonight. It's all on this piece of paper. No, no. And I resigned immediately. And that's when I had the impetus, if you will, to make a radio station that could fight against that. We called it CFNY, the Spirit of Radio.
And something you said when we were playing the Spirit of Radio was, whatever's going on in the halls of a radio station ends up in the air, and I couldn't agree more. And that's why I feel bad for a lot of the young people nowadays getting into the business and being caught up in this corporate stuff. Nobody's having any fun, and you can hear it on the air.
And I was going to say before you answer, Dave, like Pete has been with us for a long time, and it's very, it was like our show, and when we got together, we had all these group of people around us, and kind of like we do now, where we would be laughing about something, we say, hey, let's try that tomorrow, and Pete puts together a song, and you know, all of a sudden, it's like, you can hear it on our show. We're having fun away from it. We can't wait to come and do it because we know that whatever we want to do, whether it's great or it's kind of shitty, we'll still do it.
Yes. Because you are enjoying yourselves. Yes.
Everybody feels it that walks in this room, too. Everyone that's on.
We would enjoy ourselves even more. I don't want to get all negative, but if we could figure out a way to make money.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, that is...
We should start charging people to come on the show.
That's good.
You have a job, you have work, but, you do honest...
But that is exactly why the radio stations that are still playing 20 songs a day are still doing it, because they really think you can't figure out how to make money.
Mm-hmm. Well, David Marsden, I know...
By the way, they're wrong.
They are wrong.
You will figure it out.
Oh, no. It's coming.
I mean, I'm excited that you're on the podcast. All my shows go up on podcast.
You know what I was going to say to you, and this isn't fair because we do have to get going, but this reminds me...
I just drove for 4 hours.
This reminds me, I don't know what you think of this, Freddie, but this kind of radio reminds...
I live in Midtown and you guys are in Buffalo.
This reminds me of old-time radio. Because a little bit. Like, it's kind of like where the guys on the air are having fun, and when they're having discussions, and people, we only have a few people, but they really like it.
Do you know what it reminds me of? Right now. I live right now. You can't live in the past. You can't live in the future. Let's live right now. Let's make great things happen. Mm-hmm. Let's really entertain people. Mm-hmm. And then in a minute, we'll do something else.
David Marsden, everybody.
Oh, wow.
Last word to you, sir. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much to David and Kelly for dropping in. Tomorrow, Dan Duran will be here. The return of Dan Duran to the Humble and Fred Show, making a big time appearance. Pete Cugno.
The Humble and Fred Show is now over. Yes! Oh, free at last. Baby, that feels good. Real good. So good. Just a little lower. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Humble and Fred Show is a production of HumbleandFredRadio.com. Any reproduction or redistribution in whole or in part would be, surprising. Bye.